This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والآخر 12 أو 13. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 20 من شهر شعبان 1444 الموافق ل 13 من شهر مارس 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويرفع درجة ابن كثير، ويرفع قدره في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped. I guess today we are supposed to be dealing with a new surah. And this is Surah Al-Inshiqaq, one of those surahs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to see the Day of Judgment, رَأَيَا أو رؤيا عين, you should read these three surah, and he mentioned إذا السماء انشقت as one of them. Imam Malik narrated from Abdullah ibn Yazid and Abi Salamah and Abu Hurairah قرأ بهم إذا السماء انشقت فسجد فلما انصرف أخبرهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سجد فيها. Abu Huraira made sujood. No, Abu Salamah said, Abu Huraira was praying with them as the Imam, and فَقَرَأَ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. So he recited إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ فَسَجَدَ فِيهَا وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. So فَسَجَدَ فِيهَا, he made sujood. فلما انصرف أخبرهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سجد فيها. When he was done, he finished the prayer, he told them that this is what was done by رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه مسلم والنسائي من طريق مالك به. وقال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أبو النعمان قال حدثنا معتمر عن أبيه عن بكر عن أبي رافع قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صليت مع أبي هريرة العتمة فقرأ إذا السماء انشقت فسجد. This person Abu Rafi, he said, I prayed with Abu Huraira العتمة, that's صلاة العشاء, فقرأ إذا السماء انشقت. So he recited إذا السماء انشقت فسجد, he made sujood. قال فسجد فقلت له فقال سجدت خلف أبي القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا أزال أسجد حتى ألقاه. So he said, I told him, why did you make sujood here? So he told me that he made sujood, he prayed behind Abu al-Qasim, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made sujood. So he says, I will keep making sujood until whenever I read this, until the time I meet him. Yeah. So when he says sajadtu khalfa Abu al-Qasim, I did this sujood behind Abu al-Qasim, that means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing, because innama ju'ila al-imamu liyutamma bihi. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, we are not allowed to do. Right? If the imam did not do, we are not allowed to make sujood at-tilawa fi as-salah. The sunnah is when the imam does, you do. As Imam Ahmad said, if he does the sujood, we will do the sujood. So that's the sunnah, because anta tabi' wa tabi'u tabi'. Hakadha taqul al-qaida, at-tabi'u tabi', you follow. So if the imam doesn't make sujood tilawa, you don't make sujood tilawa. That's why hadhi mas'ala yulghaz laha. They have lughz for this mas'ala. Shakhsun, a person who prays with the imam, and the imam made sujood, but he refused to make sujood. وصحت صلاته. من هو هذا الشخص؟ said الذي سجد الإمام السجود التلاوة وما سجد مع الإمام. لكن هذا لا ينبغي. This is inappropriate. This is wrong. إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به. هذه الأفعال الظاهرة الإنسان يتابع الإمام فيها. ذلك في in سجود السهو when the Imam makes a mistake and he was in need of sujood al-sahw qabli and you are ma'mum, what do you do? You follow him or you wait first until you finish your prayer, then you make sujood al-sahw? When do you do the sujood al-sahw? Whenever he does it. Yeah, the sujood al-sahw qabli, you follow the Imam in it. Yeah, although you are masbuk, you still have some rak'at, but you go with the Imam to finish, because the Imam doesn't finish his prayer yet, so you just follow him. Everything. Yeah, but if the sujood sahwa is ba'adi, in this case, you don't follow him. Right after the Imam says assalamu alaikum, you continue with your prayer. You finish first and then go and do the sujood sahwa. When are you exempted? Khilaf bain ulama, lakin al aqwa, and you will be exempted from the sujood sahwa if you do not reach ma'al Imam raka'ah. You lost the rak'ah. The last rak'ah, you miss it. So you just like image with the Imam. Yeah. Unless if you reach the mistake with the Imam, and you know that this is the mistake, yeah, you got it with the Imam, even if you didn't get the rak'ah. لو قيل بالسجود لكان له وجه. لكن if you don't catch up rak'ah with the Imam, then you miss almost everything with him. You know, you just got that Jama'ah, but not the Jama'ah. Yeah, you don't get the Jama'ah. That fadl of the Jama'ah, if you miss the rak'ah, missed you. Wallahu alam. But which one is better when you come to the masjid and the Imam is in the last tashahud? You follow him or you wait until he finish and you pray alone? You follow him. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ وَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا عَلَى الْأَقَلْ. You got the Jama'ah. You know, you're part of the community in the masjid. And also, ala al-aqal, you got to pray at the first part of the time, which is more virtuous than praying afterwards. Yeah. Allahumma illa idha kanat hunaka jama'ah ukhra, thaniya. Well, Imam in the last seconds, you know. Yeah. But if the Imam is in the last tashahud and people came and they found him in the last tashahud, they just started the tashahud now, it's better to just join him and everyone should complete his prayer alone. Anyway, okay, back to tafsir. So Abu Huraira said, I made sujood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as such, I will never stop making this sujood until I meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Big hope, right? He says, until I meet him. When? On the day of judgment. So all of these are showing that there is a sujood in this surah, in the Sama'u al-Shaqqat. The last narration by from Abu Huraira again, قَالَ سَجَدْنَا مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ وَقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. So we make sujood. وَسُجُود وَاقْتَرِبْ, right? That's اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. So there is a sujood also there. Yeah. خلاف بين العلماء 14, 17, 15. Concerning some of the sujood, especially where you have two sujood in the Surah Al-Hajj, and also اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Okay, anyway, so the best is to make sujood. Wherever Sunnah says there is sujood here, just make sujood. Yeah. Leave the controversy of the scholars and make sujood. Yeah, shukran. قال الله عز وجل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انشقت وآذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وآذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كادحا فملاقيه. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. جزاك الله خيرا. إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا السماء انشقت. And this is on the day of judgment. When the sama انشقت. انشقاق means split and break into, break into pieces. Split. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. So what you know, although we don't see the sama, but on that day the hijab will be removed. You will see the sama in its own position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ability to witness. Yeah, the sama. And you see a lot of doors in it, and it will open. So this is a sign for the existence of the Day of Judgment. That means you don't need to ask anyone which day is this. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ أي استمعت لِرَبِّهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ. So it listens to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because who commanded it to do the inshiqaq? Allah. So it submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُقَّتْ أي حُقَّ لَهَا أَن تُطِعْ. Because the one who is making the command is Allah, it has to follow. Cannot say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no. And why this is happening? This is just to let us know that the issue is very serious. Okay. Allah says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the earth, مُدَّتْ means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it straight. No. So no hills, no anything. Be flattened. And actually, تُمَدِّ الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ تُطْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will roll it and fold it, you know. Just like the way you fold the carpet will be taken away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them to bring new one. Yeah, new earth. By that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody committed sin on that place. On that clear and white, you know, earth, the day of judgment will happen. قال وإذا الأرض مدت. يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله قال ابن جرير حدثنا ابن عبد الأعلى قال حدثنا ابن ثور المعمر عن الزهري عن علي ابن الحسين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا كان يوم القيامة مد الله الأرض مد الأديم حتى لا يكون لبشر من الناس إلا موضع قدمي فأكون أول من يدعى وجبريل عن يمين الرحمن والله ما رأه قبلها فأقول يا رب إن هذا أخبرني أنك أرسلته إلي فيقول الله عز وجل صدق ثم أو أشفع فأقول يا رب عبادك أعبدوك في أطراف الأرض قال وهو المقام المحمود. Ibn Jarir narrated with his isnad until Ali ibn al-Husayn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said إذا كان يوم القيامة مد الله الأرض مد الأديم حتى لا يكون لبشر إلا موضع قدميه. Yani, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the earth very straight, will stretch it like the way we do with the adim, as the jilt. So, and also it will be so crowded because everyone comes, angels, human beings, everyone comes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people will be placed in a place whereby you don't have a space in that place except a place to put your feet. That means it will be so crowded. قال فأكون أول من يدعى. And I will be the first to be invited. وجبريل عن يميني الرحمن والله ما رأه قبلها. And Jibreel will be at the side of Ar-Rahman, right side of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi ma ra'ahu qablaha. Never saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before then. فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ هَذَا أَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّكَ أَرْسَلْتَهُ إِلَيَّ. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ صَدَقَ ثُمَّ أُشَفَى. Then I will say, Ya Allah, this one, you point at Jibreel and say, Ya Allah, this one told me that you sent him to me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, Sada, you have spoken the truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me ability to intercede. Yeah, because shafa'ah must be based on permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ هَذَا قَدْ أَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّكَ أَرْسَلْتَهُ إِلَيَّ. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ صَدَقَ ثُمَّ أُشَفَّ. فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبْ عِبَادُكَ أَعْبَدُكَ فِي أَطْرَفِ الْأَرْضِ. Then I will say, Ya Allah, these are your slaves. They have been busy worshipping you at, I mean, every corner of the earth. أَطْرَفِ الْأَرْضِ is talking about the side, but it's talking about everywhere. They have been worshipping you from every direction. And قال, so the Rawi says, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَقَامُ الْمَحْمُودِ. This is the maqam al-mahmud. Or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَقَامُ الْمَحْمُودِ. This is the maqam al-mahmud. You know, maqam al-mahmud, right? That's the best position somebody can have on the Day of Judgment. And only one person can get it. Allah told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. He said, and take some part of the night and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that part of the night, نَافِلَةً لَكَ, as an additional task for you. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to, I mean, resurrect you at that maqam al-mahmud, the best place where يَحْمَدُهُ فِيهِ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخِرُ. So you can see how excellent is the qiyam al-layl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. Allah, is a big khasara for a Muslim to be not to be among those people who are doing the qiyam al-layl. It's a big khasara. So try your best. Do whatever you can. At least 2 rak'at at night. Then sleep. Yeah. Or wake up at any part of the night and pray at least 2 rak'at and then go back to sleep. It's sharaf, sharaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Jibreel, he says, وَشَرَفُهُ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ شَرَفُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الْمُؤْمِنِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended it, and he called it دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَنَا. It's like they took it as a hobby, you know. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were like that, you know. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ أَنَا اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how do you think of comparing between somebody who is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night? You know? Sajidan wa qa'iman yahdharu al-akhirata wa yarju rahmat rabbi. It's a very special, very, very special, because night is a time for resting. You know? Yeah, it's time everyone is sleeping. And subhanAllah, if you are looking for the time for laziness and excuses, the time for the qiyam al-layl. Yeah. Kareem, start Qiyam al-Layl. No, I have a work in the morning. I will not do the Qiyam al-Layl. Yeah. But some of them might stay awake during the Sahar throughout the night, you know. He never told himself, I have a job in the morning. So as I said, take what you know, you can make it continuous. And all of these ma'adhir, trust me, a person will regret in the future. It wasn't great in the future, especially the younger ones. Train your body not to be lazy when it comes to the act of worship. Give priority to it. Yeah, rearrange your time. Be very serious when it comes to the time management, and must have a time for that qiyam al-layl. Yeah. Abu Muhammad al-Qahtani says, "Kum fit-tuja, watlu al-kitaba wa la tanam illa kanawmati ha'ilin wal hani wa la rubbama ta'ti al-maniyatu baghtatan fa tusaqu min furushin ila al-akfani." In the Quran, before I interpret this bait, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa huwa alladhi yatawaffakum bil-layli wa ya'lamu ma jarahtum bin-nahar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes your soul at night. Yeah, so that means we die every day. Yeah, for those of us who are sleeping. Yeah. So we die every day. When you sleep, is a minor death. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعَلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows exactly what you, because at night, even the pen is not writing anything. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ عَنِ النَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظَ. When you sleep, the pen is not writing anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. So when you wake up, this is when you start to begin the activities. So he knows exactly what you guys are doing. مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ أَيْمَا كَسَبْتُمْ. It's not أَجْرْ مَا تَجْرَحَ إِنسَانُ وَإِنْ كَانَ اللَّفْظُ يُطْلَقُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَوَارِحِ الكواسر كذلك وما علمت من الجوارح وتطلق على الأعضاء الجوارح يقال جارحة لأنها آلة للتكسب. فيعلم ما كسبتم بالنهار ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار. And he knows what you did in the daytime. ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى. So Allah already knew what you did before sleeping, and then he will bring you back again. ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. So Abu Muhammad was advising you, since this death is possible at any time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. You are like, this is كارثة. But for the good ones, it will not be a regret, inshallah. Yeah, to wake up and find yourself in the grave. Yeah. He says, "Kun fi duja watlu al-kitaba wa la tanam illa kanawmati ha'ilin wal hani." He says, try, reduce your sleep, and sleep like a person who is weak or is sick, who is in a state of fear of something. He says, watlu al-kitab, read Quran. Take some part of the night and read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, why am I advising you to do this? He said, فَلَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِ الْمَنِيَّةُ بَغْتَةً. He said, perhaps death might visit you at that time. فَتُسَاقُ مِنْ فُرُشٍ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ. Yeah, you went, you cover yourself with your blanket. Yeah, when you wake up between those duran of al-qabr. Your life is really musibah. For those who did not prepare for this, SubhanAllah, this is really musibah. Does that happen? A lot. People slept. Somebody has to break the door and get them out to the grave. So that's why he says, وَلَا تَنَمْ إِلَّا كَنَوْمَةِ حَائِلٍ وَالْهَانِ فَلَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِ الْمَنِيَّةُ بَغْتَةً فَتُسَاقُ مِنْ فُرُوشٍ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ يَحَبَّذَ عَيْنَانِ فِي غَسَقٍ تُجَى مِنْ خَشْيَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ بَاكِيَتَانِ. So just trying to motivate us, inshallah, in case we find it difficult, try your best, as I said, at least two rakat at night, and then sleep. تَجْمَعَ لَكَ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, inshallah. So back to the ayah. قال فأقول يا رب عبادك عبدوك في أطراف الأرض وهذا هو المقام المحمود. And because of that, I went to quote from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to bring you, you know, on the best position on the day of judgment. So this shows that Qiyamul Layl lead to this high position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who are doing it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, they will never fail in this life. And it doesn't work, actually. You'll be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night when everyone is busy resting, and you stand up and squeeze some time, you know, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah will neglect you in the daytime. It doesn't work. Yeah? Those type of special moments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. He sent angels, actually, to go and sit with you when you are praying those prayers. The night prayer and the duha prayer, especially the one that you do it at the moment when everyone is busy with the dunya, called Salatu al-Awabin. These are all duha prayers. Hina tarmudu al-fisal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen when it is too hot. A person can squeeze some time, you know, that's around 10 to 11. You know, when the temperature is very high, if you can just squeeze some time, go and make wudu, leave the business and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 2 rakat, even angels will come to that place and sit and watch. Because it's not easy for you to convince yourself to have some time to go for the prayers. Yeah. Allah grant us tawfiq. قال إذا السماء انشقت وأذن لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت. And also it brings out whatsoever is in it. You know, and neglected anything. تخلت عنه يعني it brings everything out of it. Yeah. People will come out. Whatsoever is supposed to be out on the day of judgment, they will come out. They will come out in a state of confusion. Yeah. Nobody knows what is going on. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها أثقالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وألقت ما فيها وتخلت. وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت. So these are all commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heavens and also the earth. They submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And since their creation, they have been submitted to Allah. Yeah, they know their job. The only one who doesn't know his job are the thaqalain. Yeah, at the earth and the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the earth, and the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ائتيَ قال لهما ائتيَ طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين. Give them a choice, either to come to him طوعا willingly أو كرها unwillingly. They choose the first one. قالتا أتينا طائعين. By the way, which one comes first, خلق السماوات أو خلق الأرض؟ Samawat, right? All our class, they deleted everything. They're not revising. Every day they proved me right. We study this, right? So, al-Nazi'at, right? Yeah. Khalqul Ard comes first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلَا إِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجَعْلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So earth comes first. وَجَعْلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ. يعني you add يومين آخرين, add them to the first يومين, then you come up with four. فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِ. قَالَ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى, أي بعد خلق الأرض. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, أي قصد إلى السماء. الاستواء إذا ودي ب إلى معناه القصد. ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات في يومين. فسواهن سبع سماوات. ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان. فقال لها والأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين. The only إشكال the scholars have, which deceived some scholars when they said Sama came first, because in Surah An-Nazi'at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَا بَنَاهَا رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. So they said, as means Sama comes first and then the earth. But then the scholars, majority of the scholars said no. Allah in Surah Al-Nazi'at did not say وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ خَلَقَهَا. He said دَحَهَا. And what is دَحَهَا? أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَهَا مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. This أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَهَا. This is the meaning of دَحَهَا. So this happened when? After the creation of the heavens. The creation of the earth comes first and then heaven, but put in all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha wal jibala arsaha, the dahaha happened after the creation of the heavens, not the creation itself. The creation took place after the earth. Get it? But to put those things on it, this one comes after the creation of the heavens. Anyway, this is just side benefit. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani, to remind us about what we had studied and forgot, as usual. Qala, ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadahan famulaqih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadahan famulaqih. Ay sa'in ila rabbika sa'yan wa amilan amalan famulaqih. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, and he assigned a responsibility on your shoulder. So you're moving towards that responsibility, you know, for those who wish to do that. So you are doing the sa'i, moving, working, and you are doing the amal, you know, towards who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمُلَاقِيهِ. A time will come, you will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the closest meaning of this kadhan. Al-kadhu, this is al-amal al-shaq, and to jahid nafsaka, tajahid nafsaka, they will come, you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will question you about this amal that he put on your shoulder. Qala, thumma innaka satalqa ma'abilta min khayrin aw sharrin. And when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be confronted by whatever you did. Your life. You want to see Hisab? Hisab al-daqiq, al-daqiq, al-daqiq. Huwa Hisabullah Azza wa Jalla. SubhanAllah. Very daqiq. Yani in which nothing is going to be missing. Big, small, whatever amount you did, you know. Allah understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusallim ala. So you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Hisab, and you will see whatever you did in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. You know, the criminals, when they see the book, which book is that? The book of record, which recorded everything they are doing. They will be saying, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It doesn't neglect anything. Things which you forgot, you'll be reminded, you know, because everything is there being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why a person should do what? Get ready for this. You will lie. It's not a joke. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and يَحْفَظَ قُلُوبَنَا. It's not a joke. And 1,400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. 1,400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hisab is very near. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, he says, اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا قُرْبَ وَمِنَ الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا بُعْدَ. SubhanAllah. Hisab is very near, and people are always looking for the dunya, and they're always going against the akhirah. That was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, I don't know in our time how it is. You know, SubhanAllah. In the place where everyone wants just to see somebody who will tell them yes, just go ahead. People are not concerned about accountability. Yeah, we base our life completely. The vast majority of it, if not completely, on what? Shubha. Either shubha or haram. Either shubha or haram. No. You want to stick, and you are very sensitive when it comes to the haram and halal, people will give you a lot of names. Allah, don't worry about that. Just make sure that you don't harm anyone, but stick to your values. Base your life on halal, on what you know is the safest position for you. Don't worry about who is following, who is not following. Allah, don't worry. All of these fancy things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with them. Yeah. Follow the Jaddat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, and don't worry about what others are going to say. They will say. Yeah, you're not the first person. They will say. There is no way for you to follow the correct thing in this time of ours without having criticism and challenges. No way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fees a lot. And Waraqa told him, Qa'idah, which is actually for us, not for him alone, for us. And is applicable more on us than him, actually. He says, your people are going to take you out. He said, our mukhrijiyahum, they're going to take me out. To a surprise, because he is upon the best manner in the community. Nobody's like him. And they know that. All of them agree that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best. Nobody has question on this. Until the time he started telling them worship Allah alone, then they start changing their mind. And even when it comes to manners and adab, they know he has the best of adab. That's why there is no much criticism against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of adab. They just like to hear him saying Allah is one. And injustice is haram. They don't like to hear this. But as far as his adab is concerned, they already know. But Waraqa told him, and he was surprised that his people are going to take him out. Waraqa told him, لَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٌ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُودِي. Nobody ever brought what you will be bringing to your people except that you found his people hating him. That's the sunnah of the da'wah. You're going to have criticism, you're going to have this. So your job is to identify the truth and to make sure that, yes, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do and stick to it. Don't harm anyone, but preserve and don't compromise any part of your religion. No matter how much small people see it, but it is big in the eyes of Allah. Wallah, alhamdulillah, we have our scholars to explain to us everything. Imam Malik, when somebody calls some part of the Sharia small, he said there is no small knowledge. No. Knowledge is kabir, kulluhu. And you, Allah, knowledge is kabir, kulluhu. Yeah. When you want to drink water and you sit down, what is the impression of others? When you dress properly, what is the impression of others? When you take something with the right, you don't want to take it with the left hand. What is the impression of people? A lot of people find it so strange. Why do you stick to these simple, simple, tiny things? You know, we have bigger matters. But the question is, if this simple thing, you can't do it, you know? And tomorrow you will be doing the big matter. Which big matter we are doing? And that's the question, you know, which big matter we are doing. Anyway, Allah grant us tawfiq and preserve our deen and our aqidah and our tarbiyah. So, Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi narrated a hadith which Ibn Kathir says that this hadith is supporting this. Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadihan famulaqi. Kadihun ay sa'in illahi azza wa jalla wa amilan wa jahidan famulaqi. A day will come, you will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the result of what you did in this life. So he says, يَشْهَدُ لِهَذَا مَا رَوَاهُ الطَّيَالِسِ Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi and al-Hasan ibn Abi Ja'far and Abi Zubayr and Jabir, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Because Jabir usually إِذَا أُطْلِقْ يُعْنَى بِهِ Jabir ibn Abdullah. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال جبريل, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Jibreel told me, يَا مُحَمَّدْ عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ Live as long as you wish, فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ And I always quote this hadith because I believe it is really, 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 really important for every Muslim to memorize it and make sure that you apply this hadith every day. Yeah. عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ Live as long as you wish, but a day will come, you will leave this life. Yeah, so if this is the case, what must you do in this regard, since you are mortal, somebody who will die? Who is the best person amongst the human beings in the eyes of Allah? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Biduni niza, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما في أحد يقدم غيره عليه إلا في الأحلام. خزعبلات هؤلاء الناس. Anyway, you know what I'm referring to. So, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best. No comment on this. But where is he? He died. Yeah. Allah says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتٌ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you think of one of us? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will die, and he died. That means we are all going to die, sooner or later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us long life in righteousness, but we will die. No matter how much you live, you will die. So since there is death, what does this statement, you know, is trying to tell you? Trying to tell you, be prepared. Understand that life is not going to remain forever. You know, you're here temporarily, and you will be going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. Be ready for this. فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. You have to be ready for it. That means choose the afterlife, after death, you know, life after death. Don't choose this one. Yeah. As the Hikmah says, serve the dunya according to the time you will be spending in this dunya, and serve the akhirah according to the time you will be spending in the akhirah. How long is the dunya? Even if you take from the science, you know, they love this word, billions of years. You know? Whenever they talk, they like this billions. And they always, from time to time, they tell you billions of years or millions of years, and then tomorrow they discover something else, they cancel this one with no shyness, you know. They open another one. Day after tomorrow also, they might see something else. Like Aslaful Bashar, according to them. Yeah, at first they said 300 years. That's those bones and the things they found. 300 years. 300,000. Yeah. 300,000. And then they canceled that. They got another one. They say, oh, no, this one shows that 800,000, you know. Yeah, and we keep going until you started seeing the millions of years coming. You know? So the question is, even according to them, who is the ancestor of the human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut the story short. He told us the first creation amongst the human being was Adam. But they have also a very funny interpretation for Adam. They said this is jinns, you know, of human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, you know, wallah, he says, it's in the last of Adam. They said, wait a minute, that supports them. It supports their idea, you know. Well, I don't know what kind of, and these are Muslims, you know, looking for any evidence, you know. I don't know about the iman, if it is still there or not, but these are people who call themselves Muslims, and they're trying to find evidence from the Quran that supports Darwinism. Yeah. In Allah astafa Adam, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him. He has to be chosen from something. And that thing has to be from his own jinns, from human being. Oh, that's mean that he used to be human being, but Allah make him the chosen one. These people are as if they never went to school, you know? Yeah. I doubt if any one of them has gone to school. You know, some of them, they just were born among the Arabs, and they think just speaking the Arabic language gives you ability and the capacity to talk on behalf of Sharia in the way you want. Allah guide them. Tufuliyat, you will lie. Atfal ma yafalun hada. So, qala ishma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. So, I was asking, what is the umr of the dunya? Even if you go with the science, billions of billions. Yeah, dunya, we don't know how long was the dunya, but Adam, we have a clue when Adam exists up to this date. But the dunya, we don't know. But the umr dunya kullaha, not human being. Umr dunya kullaha, and if you compare it with the hereafter, talk about billions of years if you want. That one doesn't have end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that it has no end. This one has a beginning, has an end, right? After the
qiyamah, when the akhirah comes in, the dunya, khalas, finish, akhirah, yam dunya, you know, dunya finish. Now we move to another life. Make a proper comparison and see what will be the result. And take our life, since he's talking about Aisha, right? Take our life. How long would you survive? Allahu alam. But we know the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the ummah, usually, 60, 70 will die, right? These are the most, the vast majority. Unless if you have Muammar al-Pakistani, 160 years, they say. I never saw him, but they said it. Or that Ajuz person, if it is not Photoshop, 300 years ago. Yeah, we see a lot of things, we hear a lot of things. Or if you're from Japan, you live long life. If you're drinking, what is that? Not tea, that's taking orange every morning. A lot of people, they have their own jokes, you know. Okay, anyway, so let's say you live like Nuh alayhi salam. Yeah, 1,000 years or 1,000 plus or whatever years you live. You know. Look at the akhirah. Yeah, look at the akhirah. Adam died. How long had he been on earth? Around 10,000 years, right? Inside. Until now, you know. And akhirah, his akhirah begins, you know, because when you die, then, although that hadith has a question mark on it, but when you leave this dunya, the Prophet ﷺ call it akhir ayyam dunya, the time you are dying. That means you left the dunya. Now you are moving to the akhirah, the Prophet ﷺ said. So that means after your death, the qiyamah, your qiyamah begins. You are in the journey. You move from this dimension to another dimension. You're just having the transit before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call you back on the day of judgment. Those people who died before, some of them thousands of years under the ground. 100 years, you know, you cannot be patient. 100 years, you know. Hey, Allah, these are human beings. 100 years, just 100 years you live. And the stain in the grave, you don't know. After you die, after we die, how long are we going to be on the earth? Under the earth, how long are we going to be? We don't know. Hey, Allah, you don't know. It might be thousands of years. Anyone who tells you that the Umar al-Dunya is 2,000 years, this is kadhab. There is no authentic hadith to the Prophet ﷺ. So any hadith that try to tell you Umar al-Dunya, khalas, just put on that hadith mawdu'. No need to go and ask, just mawdu'. There is no hadith that tells us Umar al-Dunya that is authentic. There are hadith in mawdu'a which tells you how long exactly dunya will live. And subhanAllah, it's so funny. We already finished the time being given to us in those fabricated hadith. So nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what is the point of saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows the day of judgment if you're going to say that those hadith are authentic? Yeah, if they are authentic, there would not be contradiction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will definitely tell us. And we will not see those one telling us that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But these ones are saying to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught somebody. But all of the hadiths that are telling you that somebody knows when the day of judgment will happen or when this dunya is going to finish, these hadiths are all hadiths, mawdu'a, or kadhib ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or israeliyat, or hadith dha'ifa, dha'af, la yumkin jabruhu. Because there is a dha'af munjabir, but this one, la yumkin jabruhu. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us look into our life. Iwallah, is the time for us to look into our life and make a lot of modifications. Prepare for the akhirah and stay away from anything that you're not sure. When I say you're not sure, it means you're not sure whether you will be able to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Yeah, not you're not sure about the dunya things, you know. No, this thing that you're doing, are you sure if you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can answer the question if he asks you about it? If not, stay away from it. This life is temporary. You will be moving back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are careful in this life, you will enjoy that, inshallah. قَالَ عِشْ مَا شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ وَأَحْبِبْ مَا شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ. And he says, and love whosoever you wish. But you have to know one day you will leave that person. Yeah. Yeah. Many people, especially the younger ones, right? They are distracted by their friends, destroyed by their friends. So don't you ever take somebody to be in your company whether a wife or friend or whoever, except somebody who is helping you to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. Get the idea? So, especially you guys, almost all of you here, you know? Yeah, when the time to choose a partner comes, open your eyes. If you can add two more eyes, do. You Allah, open your eyes so much to make sure that you understand precisely who that person that you're looking for to be a partner is. Because this is supposed to be your company to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you make a mistake and take somebody who is corrupt, you will also be corrupt. Allah, there are people, many people who stop doing that which they're doing because of their husbands. And there are many people who stop what they're doing because of their wives. Many people who stop what they are doing, which is righteous. You know, I'm talking about stopping doing the righteousness because of your partner. Many who stop being righteous because of friends. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تصحب إلا مؤمنا ولا أكل طعامك إلا تقي. Don't you ever accept somebody to be your friend except mu'min, a believer. And don't let anyone eat your food except somebody who fears Allah. Make sure that your company are the good ones. Yeah. This is what benefits you in this life. You want somebody who will tell you, Abdurrahman, this is wrong. Yeah. Abdurrahman, this is right. Keep it up. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this and that. You don't want somebody who will see you going in the wrong direction and just watch. Or tell you, don't worry, just keep moving. We still have time. You Allah, this is a cheater and this is not a friend. Cannot be your brother at all. The true brother for you is somebody who reminds you about your job. Somebody who tells you what is right and what is wrong. That is somebody who, when you meet him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get it? This is the best person that you should be looking for. قَالَ وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ. Love whatsoever you want or whosoever you want, but you have to know a day will come, you will leave that person, right? And we have been saying this, you know, a lot, and you guys already know it. Everyone knows this. When we die, who takes you to the grave? Huh? The family. Yeah, they will bring your children. They will be in the first place, you know. They'll put you in that place. They cry. Yeah, they're crying because they lost you. But trust me, after a few days, khalas, your page has been closed. That wife of yours who used to show you all kinds of kindness and love, after a few days, she will be with somebody else. She will understand. She will not understand being alone. She will go and be with somebody else and forget you. Yeah, your children also, they're going to forget you. Yeah. Your husband also will forget. Yeah. So remember, they will take you and put you in a grave and leave you there. Nobody will agree to stay with you. Even to stay for one day, you know, next to your grave, you know. Nobody will do that. And nobody will agree to stay with you inside. Yeah, it's wrong to stay, but even if it is okay, allowed, you know, nobody will agree to be in that place, you know. You become a stranger to them. Yeah, so you should understand the kind of friendship and brotherhood you will be having with everyone that lives with you on earth before death. Which means be kind, be good, be beneficial to them. But when they invite you to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember this hadith. That they are going to put you in the grave one day and leave you alone to face the consequences. None of them will agree to come and even stand next to you, you know, to help you to have some comfort when you are facing the questions from the questioners in the grave. None will agree to do that. Why would you waste your life obeying somebody in that which is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, just because you want to make him happy? You Allah, this is dumbness. You Allah, to see somebody who is making somebody happy, you know, and he knows that this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, but he agrees to make him happy because he just wants him to be happy, not to make him angry. Allah, he will regret. He will remember this moment, and that person will never agree to support. Even if he supports him, what can he do? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can he do if you are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ وَأَعْمَلْ مَا شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزُومِ. And do whatever you want, but you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you based on whatever you did.
He says, do whatever you want in this life, but you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge you based on what you did in this life. So that means you have the freedom, right? Allah will not come and force you to do what He wants you to do. You choose what you want. But He told you what He doesn't want you to do and what He wants you to be doing. If you don't do that which He wants, the consequence is really heavy. So, وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ, and do whatever you want, you will be rewarded based on that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jibreel told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الْمُؤْمِنِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. You should know that the sharaf of the believer, sharaf is noble position, you know, high position, nobility of a believer, قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ, lies in the قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتِغْنَاءُ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and your izz, you know, izz means respect from people, you know. إِسْتِغْنَاءُ عَنِ النَّاسِ, you can only get this when you show people that you have no interest in that which they have. Yeah. That's why I remind you with this gift from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to every one of us, which we didn't follow. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. It's a very, very interesting gift for every one of us. Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you pray, when you worship Allah, when you fast, when you do whatever you do, the Prophet ﷺ said, do it as if this is the last one you will be doing. Which means an angel came to you and told you, Kareem, this is your last day. This is your last prayer. Imagine how that prayer is going to be. That's how Allah wants you to practice all of your prayers in this life, and also all of your deen should be based on this. He says, "Salli salatam wadda'in," and then he says, "Wala taf'al shay'an ta'tadhiru minhu ghadan." Yeah, this is what I said. We don't follow this. And subhanallah, this is really interesting. He said, "Don't you ever do something that you have to go and tell somebody, I'm sorry." Allahu Akbar, you know. How many times we have to apologize? A lot, every day. Kulluna, all of us, how many times you have to go and apologize to somebody? Yes, it's good, it's an honor for you to apologize when you're wrong. It's good, it's really a good manner for you to apologize. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants something better for you, which is to be very careful in whatever you're doing so that you will not make those mistakes at the first place. You don't need to go and tell somebody, I'm sorry. Ya Allah, ya lahu min izz. You become aziz. Nobody can point his finger on you and say, this person did something to me last time, you know. You're aziz. Wherever you go, you have this big respect from the people because you don't hurt anyone. In another text, he says, وَإِيَّاكَ وَمَا يُعْتَذَرُ مِنْ. He says, stay away from that thing which you need to apologize to somebody. قَالَ وَلَا تَفَعَلْ شَيْءًا تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ. That means you should be very careful in all of your activities so that you will not need to go and disrespect and humiliate yourself, asking somebody to forgive what you did. He says, وَاجْمَعِ الْيَأْسَ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, and gather all, look at even the expression. Al-yas means despair. He said, put all forms of despair towards that which other people have. Meaning, do not show somebody interest in what he has. Don't you ever let somebody understand that you have interest in what they have, then they will do what? They respect you. Yeah, make it the last thing you will do, which you have no option, and you go to somebody and ask. It's okay to ask, yeah, but make sure that you make it the last thing when there's no any other way except to ask him. Then go and ask. So these are values and principles given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the wisdom that we are supposed to share with others. Yeah, nowadays we are proud of sharing wisdom from other people. Many of them are kuffar and enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, and we're taking from them.
we neglected that which is given to us by Allah or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is better in any dimension. And as I always mention, with no doubt, any wisdom you get from somebody, wallahi, you will get a better option from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever you get from somebody, it is there in your religion. So, Sadaqa man qala fi akhlaqina kifaya. Somebody wrote the book, he called it fi akhlaqina kifaya. And he was refuting the community he lived in when he sees everyone is referring to a book written by one of the non-Muslims. He called the book, I forgot the name of the author, but the name of the book is Kayfa Taksibul Asdiqa. How do you gain friends? Everyone is talking about this book. You know. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gave you the best way to get friends and the good ones. Not anyhow. Yeah. Not anyhow. The best friends who will lead you to success in the dunya and the akhirah. Thousands of wisdom given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But unfortunately, we don't read. And we don't value what we have. That's why we end up using the non-Muslims one. I'm not saying we shouldn't benefit from them. No, we benefit from them. But why do you go out of your religion? You have everything there. You go out looking for what you have. You have. You give them, you know. We have everything. We share with them. You know? They come and take it from us, you know. But now we are going behind them looking for this wisdom from them. The way if you say Qala Rasulullah, people think you're going to give them khutbah. You know? If you say Qala Alex or John, you know, then everyone is going to praise you. You know, your article will be praised and khalas, accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So I will stop here, inshallah. In the next class, bi idhnillah azza wa jal, we try to take as much as we can, inshallah. Okay, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any question?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, Sheikh Khalid.
What do you think that the Arabic language will be in the Islamic is when he sneezes in the coming?
Wallahu alam. This is what many are saying. Adam was the first person to speak the Arabic language. And some are saying, no, Saleh was the first one. Hud and Saleh, they were the first who were speaking the language. I couldn't find an authentic hadith up to this date where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the language of Adam alayhi salam. Then the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, does it include the languages also? Or these are just the name of things? And what language exactly was he speaking? Allah a'lam. And by the way, these are some of the knowledge that it doesn't benefit. Long discussion among the scholars about the sources of the language, that they don't have that much of benefit. Never found somebody who claimed benefit except one. Yeah, he says there is, and I forgot, he was mentioning how to benefit from it, but in the past, scholars will tell you, هذه المسألة طويلة الذيل قليلة النيل. Long tail, that means scholars talk, but at the end of the day, which, how much increase you have in your iman? None. Even the knowledge itself, none. Because everything you can take it from the past, you can take it also from here. Yeah. Except if you're going to say that Luga is tawqifi, you take that opinion, Luga is tawqifi, then anything that is added by the people will have to throw it away. So custom, a lot of customs are going to be thrown away. Yeah. When people take something and they modify it and they make it a custom, we don't pay attention to it. Whenever Allah wants to talk, even if we agree that he's referring to the custom, we don't go for that. Yeah, because we say tawqifi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it to mean this in the first place. You know? So that's why it doesn't have that benefit. Ibn Qudama says, قَلِلَةُ النَّيْلِ طَوِيلَةُ الذَّيْلِ. He also gets in the debate. He says, وَالصَّحِيهُ. He is also getting in the debate. He says, وَالصَّحِيهُ أَنَّ بَعْضَهَا تَوْقِيفِ وَبَعْضَهَا إِصْلَاحِ. Some part of it is tawqifi, some part of it is istilah. Yeah. But it's good to have these type of issues because, not aql, but riyadah dhihniyah. Yeah, you enjoy when you're listening to the discussion of the scholars. Yeah. Allah grant is good. What language we will be speaking, inshallah, in Jannah? Not Arabic? Okay. Arabic? Okay, he says inshallah. Then we have nothing to say after saying inshallah. There is a hadith that says, you should learn Arabic because I'm Arab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Quran is Arabic, and Arabic language is ligut ahl jannah. I'm waiting for Abdurrahman to say, you see, I have a support in my... And then Khalid doesn't... La yasbir, abadan. Yeah. So, wallahu alam. What exactly the language we'll be speaking in Jannah? Wallahu alam. But does it even matter? The point is to go into Jannah. Whatever language you're going to speak, the point is you are in Jannah, right? Can you speak all the languages in Jannah? Yes. Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُ. So there is no point of actually dwelling, talking about which language. You know. Do this when you are in Jannah. Ask, which language am I supposed to be speaking? You know? Allah grant is good. Okay, next question, if any.
My question was, can many weak chains come together and strengthen each other? Because someone used this to support the case of singling out 15th of Sha'ban, or the night of that, for worship, and also said that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said it's okay to do that.
It depends on the weakness. There are types of weakness when they happen, they don't increase the hadith except da'fa. Yeah. But there are kind of da'fa, this is a big discipline, Sister Shafa, in the Musnad al-Hadith. There are types of weakness which could be fixed. When you have another weak narration, which is also could be fixed, they kept on gathering. Those one, then they could strengthen the hadith to the darajat. Sahih al-Ghairihi or al-Hasan, wa ma ila dhalik. But not all the da'af is accepted in this way. As I said, this is a discipline that if you have interest, then join in those classes. Masala hadith is really interesting. If you have a scholar who can teach. Yeah, we had a person, Sheikh Rushaydan, who I don't know whether he's the one who's still reading the hadith for Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad in Medina. But that one, subhanAllah, I don't think if you join his class, you would not love Masalul Hadith. You know, even if you don't like it before, when you join his class, he really knows how to teach and he has the knowledge to give. So it's a very nice and cute discipline, very cute. Yeah. I really suggest if you can find somebody who study the hadith, not just marra bi kulli al-hadith. No, study the hadith and knows how to explain. It would be good, inshallah, to get those things. As for the nisfu, laylat al-nisfu min Sha'ban, sah? Sha'ban. I will advise a person just to follow the statements of the previous scholars, or at least just be on the safe side and stay away from anything that you have big controversy among the scholars, just stay away from it. Yeah, this is my advice. Just like the Salatul Tasbih also, big debate amongst the scholars, just stay away from it. Stick to the things which you are sure, 100%, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do. You go with them. Inshallah, you will never be wrong. Bi-idhnillah
azza wa jalla.
Yeah, this is also one of the issues. For long, nobody asked me this question. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Many scholars said doing it is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there was, to my knowledge, there was no place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever finished the Quran and said Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Yeah. So to me, avoiding it is better, because now it becomes a culture. Do you get the idea? It's not being done occasionally. It becomes aqidah, part of the recitation of the Quran, that when you finish, you have to close it with this. And the evidence I know, if I'm not mistaken, they use is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Qul sadaqa Allah." Yeah, it's too far. Yeah, but this is what they are saying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah Mas'ud, "Hasbuk." Yeah. It does not say sadaqa Allah al-Azim. So Allahu alam, if I am to advise, I would advise a person not to make it part of his routine. I don't do, and I would never advise somebody to finish his Quran with that, because it's not part of the dab of the Salafus Salih, to my knowledge. So when he finished reciting the Quran, just finish and that's it, inshallah. He wants to make dua, finish and make dua and then leave the place. No need to say sadaqallahu al-azim. Now sadaqallahu al-azim is a symbol of finishing something, right? Yeah. You like jokes? Okay. Always. Eh? They said somebody who doesn't speak Arabic was buying, I don't know, shayi or something to an Arab man. So that Arab man doesn't know the language of that person, but yabdu alayhi anahu Muslim. That Rajul is Muslim. He told him, intaha. The man doesn't want to understand. Intaha, intaha. He doesn't want to understand. So he kept on asking. يعني لعله من جماعة انتهى قال أعطني انتهى برنجتين. So he told him, شاي شاي صدق الله العظيم. Okay, anyway, next question. Wallahi, I've never come across a place where it is mentioned that the Salaf, after finishing the Quran, they used to do a kafaratul majlis. Like in whenever they sit in a place before they move from that place, they say the kafaratul majlis before they leave. So after reading the Quran, Khalid, I don't have any. It feels so big, you know. Unless if you are reading the Quran in a nightclub or or marketplace where you have everyone coming, you know, Ma'asi also are there going around. That is a righteousness, you know. I don't have anything valid concerning this matter. It's so itchy, you know. When somebody finishes the Quran and then Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If it is majlis, people are sitting, this is a majlis. Even if it's a majlis for Tadarus al-Quran, yeah, he should do. Because majlis is majlis. I mean, anything can happen, you know. The madaris, even the masajid, people did the wrong thing. Yeah, but you're just sitting alone in the masjid reading the Quran, and then finish your reading, and then when you are moving, you say the kafaratul majlis. I don't know this to be the sunnah of the Salaf al-Saleh. Yeah. In some narrations, you can say this might be sufficient, you know, the recitation of the Quran in it. Because some of the narration talks about you leaving the place without making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be regret for you on the Day of Judgment. And you have been busy with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the end of your majlis. Yeah. But as I said, if it is a gathering of a people, you are discussing a matter, or you are doing the tadarus of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when you're moving, you should close it with kafaratul majlis.
Question by Khairid. Is there any relationship between the day of Nuzul al-Quran and Laylatul Qadr?
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah." It's a controversial matter among the scholars. How many Laylat al-Qadr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in? Is it just the first one, the whole thing came to the Bayt al-Izzah, or how? But it is a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Laylatul Qadr. He said, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. And this Laylatul Mubarakah, according to interpretation of the scholars, this is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Mubarakah, inna kunna munziri. Yeah. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. That's Laylatul Qadr. This is the nature of Laylatul Qadr. Yeah.
Not the day of
we don't know which one is that. Because Laylatul Qadr tatanaqqal. Yeah. According to the best opinion of the scholars, Laylatul Qadr tatanaqqal. This month is 21st, that month is 23rd, and 25th, 27th, 29th. Could be anyone. The one in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Li arba'in wa ishirina baqina min Ramadan. That's why some scholars said Arba'in wa Ishirin. This is Laylatul Khamis wa Ishirin at night. There is some explanation I can't recall because the hadith says Arba'in wa Ishirin. So they had to do explanation because it is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr happens in the odd night. Yeah, there is explanation given by one of the scholars. Inshallah, I will confirm it so that we will be aware of it in case you meet this hadith in the future, inshallah. But he says, "Arba'in wa ashirin khalayna min baqina min Ramadan." Khalayna min Ramadan. You have 24th of Ramadan. Quran was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah.
So the day that they make as a holiday in some countries for Nuzul Quran.
That's people following their cultures. Yeah. But also, we don't have a specific time that we sure that this is the time when the Laylatul Qadr. And the Quran say, and the hadith, authentic hadith says, "Arba'at Ashhur." Unzilat Torah, unzilat Surah Ibrahim, unzilat Injil, kada. And then he says, "Wa unzilat Quran aw al-Furqan li 40 Ashhur." So 40 Ashhur, this is the time when the Quran was revealed according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which Arba Ashirin? That one. But the last one to say Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr can happen either in this or in that. Or... So when? Yeah. These are this culture of people. That's it. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.